Have you worshiped the Lord this morning? Worship does not cease here. We continue to worship God as we hear His word and respond positively to that word. Brother Willie Anderson is going to come and share with us God's word concerning the clear and present knowledge of truth. And before he does, I'd like you, first of all, to pray a little prayer with me. Lord, my ears are open. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive to what you desire to do, what you desire to say this morning in Jesus' name. I pray. From 2 Timothy, I would like to share before Pastor Anderson comes, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I urge you then, first of all, that request, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully in quiet lives, in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. And God bless His word. Brother Anderson.
Good morning. We are honored to be here this morning before you. We ask that you just be praying with us as we attempt to break the bread of life. I want you to consider with me the subject is a clear and present knowledge. But before we go into that, I wanted to share with you some things that I had observed, what I believe probably inspired the pastor to go this route. He spoke of a clear and present love. He has taught on a clear and present faith, a clear and present joy. In 1994, we saw the release of a suspense theater called A Clear and Present Danger, starring Harrison Ford, and he played the role of an acting CIA agent, actually agent chief. Amen. I'm going to have to raise this. Are we good? Am I talking? All right, I'll just speak up. Shout it out. Amen. Thank you. The role that he played was, he was the chief of the acting chief of the CIA, and he found out that the president at that time had stirred up some strife with some Colombian cartels, and so he had started a war with them. That was kind of the first time that we really, you know, they made, that phrase was really well, had become well known. But more recently, Mike Rogers, or Representative Mike Rogers, on CBN, he was the chairman of the Intelligence Committee. He reported that ISIS is a clear and present danger to our our homeland security. Then also there was Senator Lindsey Graham. He spoke on CNN referring to ISIS as a clear and present danger. Most recently on CNN, the U.S. Secretary of Defense, James Mattis, referred to the continued threats that we were getting from the Korean leader Kim Jong-un as a clear and present danger. I thought about why did they come up with that word? So I researched that word, that phrase. Why do they say that? A clear and present danger really means that any situation or set of circumstances that would cause a danger to any establishment. It comes to a point where this is not some hoax. This is not something that somebody is taking lightly. It is clear and present. And I want to ask, are we in the kingdom of God a clear and present danger to the enemies of our faith? The Bible teaches us, there's a passage of scripture that says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by faith. And what it's really speaking to us is, or saying to us is, if the enemy of our faith is doing so much against the people of God, what are we doing about it? And the thing is, what I found out is, the one thing the Bible teaches us, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, we know the enemy would love to enslave us to sin. He loved to enslave us to our bad habits. He loved to make us afraid of things that are going on. We know that the way the world is today, we need to know, how am I going to handle this? So what we need is a clear and present knowledge. Amen. So we're just thanking the Lord just to realize the one thing we need, as the world uses that phrase, knowledge is power. Amen. Before we go further, I just want to just ask the Lord to bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we come before your throne in the wonderful name of your loving son, Jesus, that you would give us a clear and present knowledge with regard to your will for the people of God today. Have your way today, Lord. Speak to those of us who need to better understand, and speak to us who do understand and who have that knowledge, that we would apply that knowledge to make a difference in this world today. God, we don't have to complain about what's going on, because you said these things would come to pass. So now, dear God, we ask you, what must I do, oh God? And give us that attitude, even as the saints of old would say, send me. Help us to have that attitude of praise, of worship, and of serving the Most High God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I began to prepare for this message, I thought, what a challenge that Pastor Don must have had when he came up with this theme, clear and present. And so I want us to always consider, what am I clear and present about? What are the things that I am very strong in my walk with God? And is that going to make a difference for my children, for my community, for the church? Am I doing something that's going to really show this world that the church is standing up strong? That the church of God all over the world is taking a clear and present position, because the enemy will run over us if we don't. Amen. That's why the word says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means we have to be sure of what we're saying. We have to be sure and understand the things that are going on around us, so we'll be well equipped to handle the business of God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Before I go on, I've asked, because this is really an extensive study that I've done, I also have asked for some help. And so I'm going to ask for my friends, just to prepare yourselves, Brother Wiley Lear, if you would come forth first, and then after he'll read some scriptures to us and just kind of share with us, then we'll hear from Sister Anna Lear, amen? And then my brother Trevor Evans. Let's all say amen. Brother Wiley.
Romans 15, verse 14. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. In Romans chapter 1, 4 through 8, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world.
Amen. Thanks. Amen. Now we're going to hear from Sister Anna. Amen. God bless.
To Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who warn their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth.
Amen. Notice that each of these scriptures are challenging us to have a knowledge of God, the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Last but not least, we're going to have Brother Trevor Evans.
First Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And then Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen. A clear and present knowledge. Consider with me, if you will, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Starting at the first verse, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made of all men, or made for all men. One of the problems that we have today is that we don't have a habit, We haven't really developed a habit of prayer that we think we ought to have. The Bible says men should always pray and not faint. That means we should at all times and be in communion with God. One of my favorite passages of scriptures, because he's talking about supplications, prayers, and intercessions, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will comfort your hearts in Christ Jesus. Once we get to a point where prayer is the first thing we do in the morning, we start to realize, I can't make it without God. It's like a husband who loves her wife, a wife who loves her husband. You can do all things all throughout the day, but you're always thinking about that one person. How's my baby doing? It's the same thing about our relationship with the Lord. How's everything going with me and God? All I got to do is talk with him, because he's going to let me know if I'm slipping. He's going to make me examine myself. The scripture says, I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, the first thing you do in the morning, prayers, supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We need to be praying for people and thanking God for them. We have to have that godly attitude. God knows everything about us anyway. And so we need to get to a point where we're praying that even if it's somebody who we know, it seems like everything's going all right, Lord, bless my brother. Lord, bless my sister. We need to have that sense of urgency for somebody who we know that is going through something. The sick, the shut-in, those who are going through some dark times. We need to be always praying. And if it says, verse 2 says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We're supposed to be praying for the leaders of this world, specifically of our area, but definitely for the rest of the world. Because you don't know what kind of things are going in these people's minds. If they're not saved, Jesus said it this way, you are of your father, the devil. Whoever you serve, that's your daddy. And we need to be very honest about that. So if it's my imagination, that's what's controlling me. So I have to cast that down according to the word of God. But we should be praying for those who are in positions of leadership, because we're not going to take them down. But we can, by prayer, cause that spiritual weakness and all those things up in high places that we don't see. That's why the power of prayer is so important in our own lives, because God wants to reveal himself to us. Because we don't see God, but we know he's there. We know he's in us. And if he's in us, he ought to be able to radiate in and through us. Amen. For kings, that also includes presidents, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So that something needs to be coming out of us also. We have a responsibility. We want peace. We need to be praying for peace. Who was it? Paul said, pray for the peace of Israel. There's a reason for that. Paul grieved for the Israelites. He knew they were in some confusion, especially those who were the Judaizers. He wanted us to pray for peace with them. We need to be praying for the peace of this world, the peace of the United States at all times. Also will cause us to consecrate ourselves before the Lord, because if I'm not holy, how am I going to commune with the holy God? He says, with all peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, a clear and present knowledge. Amen. Those who have your Bibles, please feel free to turn with me also to 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's funny, I had all these pages copied and typed up, but I find I want to turn into my Bible because I just feel very comfortable. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Some of us, as grown people, we're still unthankful. We still have this attitude, I got this coming. They owe me this. We need to know, the Bible says, owe no man nothing but to love one another. That's what I owe you. And if I love you, I'm going to do the things that are pleasing to you. I'm going to be praying for you, even when you don't know it, even when you don't think you need prayer. That's what we owe each other. Amen. He says, traitors, verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, as my sister said, from such turn away. It's like you look at somebody, this one here, you better stay away from him, because they're only trouble. And we need to always remind ourselves that there are some people you can pray for and you can love even in your own family, but if they're not trying to submit their lives to the Lord, you don't want to have a whole lot of fellowship with them. You love them. You're going to show them love. You're going to hug them, all those things. But in secret, you're going to be praying for them. And then usually you're going to say, I'm going to be praying for you. Amen. Then he says here, thank you, sir. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. So they don't have a clear and present knowledge. Our responsibility is we spread the truth. Sometimes it's just because of the way we live. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, that living water is the way we live. Somebody may see something that's different about you and say, even Christians, those who confess to be Christians, but they are nominal. Well, when your relationship with God is clear and present, it's not nominal. It's there. It slaps them in the face. It's something different. When Christians look at you and say, it ain't about all that. Yes, it is. It's about everything it's going to take for me to get into heaven. Because the Bible tells me that those of us, even the elect, shall scarcely make it into heaven. So I'm going to do all I can. I'm going to pray. I'm going to tell people I love the Lord and tell them what God has done in my life. And then I'm going to tell God, thank you for the opportunity. Even if somebody may beat me in a debate about religion, I'm just going to tell them what I know. And I'm going to stand firm on that until they can show me in the Bible where I'm in error. Amen. Thank the Lord. Now, if you will, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry. That's... Sister Marilyn told me, be careful with all that paperwork. Amen. But I still, I tend to always want, you know, I'll have those notes, and I just want to turn to my Bible. My Bible is very important to me, and I like to look at those words. So if you will, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Again, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 to 13. And I'm just going to read. Amen. This is Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus. And he says, starting at the first verse, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Paul was in prison at the time. He was under house arrest. But it was just like being in prison. But he was saying, he had that attitude, but I am the prisoner of the Lord. Do we take every opportunity, wherever we are, whatever situation we are, and take an opportunity to be a minister to somebody? Paul saying, I, though he was in prison, I, the prisoner of the Lord, I want to beseech you, I appeal to you, I beg you, I encourage you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Whatever your vocation is, whatever your gifts are, whatever God has taught you, whatever your zeal for the Lord is, whatever it is that you can do for the Lord that's going to make a difference, walk worthy of that. Amen. Because somebody's going to call you They'll make a nickname out of you. Oh, that's that praying guy. That's that, you know, dancing guy. That's that crybaby. Amen. Am I keeping y'all's attention? Because I was trying to use some way that might, in case it's boring in here, my message. Anyway, you know, somebody told me, somebody told me I look like a flag or something. Somebody told me you look like a candy cane. Maybe I need to lick you. Well, thank the Lord. But really, God wants us to make a difference. He wants us to stand out. He wants us to be clear and present. We need to be a presence that somebody knows. There is a church in Mountain Valley. There is a church in Prescott Valley. There is a church in this area. And I pray when I say that, I'm referring to all the churches here. Amen. He says, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Even if somebody gets on your nerve, you got to love them. But you've got to walk according to your calling. Because your calling may be what it's going to take to get that person to really submit themselves to the Lord. Endeavoring, I think I heard Pastor Don use this phrase recently. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That means whatever. Everybody doesn't have all the same gifts. We were talking about the body of Christ recently. Everybody has something that God has given you. Is this your singing? Is your concern for people? Is your praying? Is your love for the Lord? You know, we got a couple of guys here I know of that kind of cry. I ain't going to point no fingers, but it's okay. We need to be emotional about the Lord. I can be emotional about all kinds of other things. If we are more emotional about the things of this world, our football games, anything that's going on, more than we're emotional about the Lord, we need to check ourselves and ask God, how can I do things that are pleasing to you? And help me to fall in love with Jesus. Amen. But unto every one of us is given the measure of faith. Verse 8 says, wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he's ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up from above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Death, the grave, couldn't keep him down. And when he came back, he came with power. He destroyed all the forces and let it be known it's a new sheriff in town. That's what it's really saying. Christ didn't die and just stay there. Thank God he rose again. Amen. And he says, and gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That means mature. God wants us to be mature. So we're not wearing our feelings, as one of my old mentors used to say, we're not wearing our feelings on our sleeve. But we can stand up and recognize, well, that's just the devil trying to use stupid over here to shorten my testimony, I better look at that. But to cause us to examine, we need to always, the Bible says, count it all joy in James. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations and tests, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. We need to allow God to do what he's going to do and recognize all the things that are going on in our lives right now is for a purpose to make us better. Because we, as he was just saying here in verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Maybe we don't know him like we ought to. We're being challenged right now to get to know the Lord. And you're going to know him through his word. You're going to know him because his word will work with his spirit and bring revelation to us. But we need to be honest with ourselves. I need you, Lord. And allow him, even if the challenges that we are faced with seem to be overwhelming, the Bible says we are more than overcomers through Christ who loved us. There's a reason for that. He's got enough word in here to give you all you need to overcome the enemy in every turn. Amen. Thank the Lord. And we're talking about a clear and present knowledge of God. 3:10-11, one of the most powerful things. Paul made it very simple what he wanted about his relationship with the Lord. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. What a wonderful thing. He wanted to be conformable to his death. Some of us, I know me, that's scary to me, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable to his death, that if by any means that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. We are living that we may live again. Think about that. Think about Christ's attitude. The word says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down now at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knew what was coming for him. He knew that he had to suffer. He knew that he was going to be shamed. He knew he was going to hang on that cross. But he knew that he, because of his word, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. We who believe on him, that's what we look for. The word says, if Christ be not risen, we are among most men most miserable. If we don't have the resurrection to look forward to, what have we got? But that comes from a clear and present knowledge. I recognize what I've got to go through. And sometimes it's not anything I can plan. Sometimes it's just being ready. We have to just be ready. We have to put on the whole armor of God. That's what it says. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have to recognize it's not just about the people around us. Yeah, there are some mean people. But thank God for the church of God, that he created a people that he has commanded them, you will love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your might, and with all your strength. And you will love your neighbor, your brother, as yourself. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2 and 2. Paul put it this way. And I determined to know nothing amongst you all but Christ and him crucified. He died for my sins that I might live again. A clear and present knowledge. A clear and present knowledge. Paul writing to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in all my prayers, that the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and you might that you might know the hope of his calling, and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's all about our relationship. It's about he has empowered the church. We are the saints. Some of us are scared of phrases like righteousness. Some of us are afraid of being called saints because, well, I have this issue. But what a wonderful thing that he covers the sin. We don't take advantage of that. Because he also said, Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How can we who have been delivered from it keep on doing it? Really, that's what he's saying. He's a God. One Baptist minister, a friend of mine who's one of my dearest friends, I remember him, he's a pastor, and he would preach. He was hung up for your hang-ups. He was hung up for our hang-ups. What's your issue? And we need to examine that. So what is my issue? Christ was hung up for that. And I can say, Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, deliver me. And if you really want to be delivered, trust me, God was going to, he will allow you to go through some things that's going to bring deliverance for you. Amen. Romans 10, 1 and 2. It says, brethren, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. And I love that scripture. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal of God. And I love that way he says, I bear them witness that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. If you don't know him, if you don't know him through his word, through how he's working in you, in his spirit, it's because you don't want to. Because we still want to be nominal. I've heard people call me an extremist, but I know some people who are more extreme than me. And those are the people I watch. We need to look and watch somebody that God has given you this great cloud of witnesses. That's what Hebrews was talking about. Chapter 11 of Hebrews was the continuance of what we call Faith Hall of Fame, where he talked about all the great people in the Old Testament that had given themselves for the Lord. Rahab and all those people who had done things in the past, there was, all of a sudden I started to lose it. But the main thing, this was a continuance. He says, so we have a great cloud of witnesses. Who is your great cloud of witnesses today? Who do you know right now in your life that's been an impact on your life? It's okay to follow that example. Because they've got a knowledge and you need to latch onto that knowledge. How do they do that? One of the greatest testimonies I have is the fact that I've been having brain, it's a lot of brain activity that's very inactive. So I forget a whole lot. Oh, so y'all forgive me. Amen. I forget a lot, but thank God I have a wife that constantly reminds me. She embarrassed me so bad this past summer while we were in Detroit. I left the gate open, and Penny, our greyhound, was able to go outside the gate. So now, and my daughter's at the house, and so one day I got up that morning, and there's this big sign on the refrigerator. Close the door, close the gate. Those kind of things. And so, like, no, she didn't. So she does that, and it's a wonderful thing. She's not scared of me, Pastor Don. Pastor John, she ain't scared of me at all. In fact, we have this phrase, Sister Shirley, where they used to say that phrase, when you're acting silly and you're getting on your wife's nerves, and she'll just say something like, talk to the hand, because the ears can't hear. Well, in the black community, they say, boy, bye. So for me, listening to my wife call me boy, I'm like, yes, dear, I've learned. It's like, boy, bye. So let me just go sit down somewhere and get out of my face with that junk. But God is so good because he wants us to have a clear and present knowledge. I want to share this. I was going to just do this last part, but there's a story here. And I just want to share this just in conclusion. It's found in, and some have heard this, it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I think it's important. It's a history, it's a mixture of history and prophecy. And it goes like this. This is Peter writing, 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both that I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth that are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, with the works that are therein, will be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, in which the earth shall be dissolved, the heavens shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, right, as he wrote in his other letters, he has written in his epistles, speaking of such things, in which are some things hard to be understood, in which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do other scriptures to their own destruction. Ye then, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being carried away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. God bless. Have a clear and present knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pray much for us. Amen. Pastor John. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Willie. Somewhere in all of that knowledge, God has spoken to you. And you are encouraged even now to respond to that, what God is saying to you. Brother Willie is here for prayer, and Brother Harry is here for prayer, and others, and I will pray with you. And so I encourage you, before you leave the sanctuary, to come and seek the Lord to minister to you where you may be at. Father God, I want to say thank you for this word. Lord, it's your word, and it's good. And we are thankful for Pastor Willie for reminding us of all of these truths. And Father, I pray even now that as your Holy Spirit has roamed this sanctuary and spoken to our hearts, yes, Lord, don't let anyone go from here without responding to your voice in some way. For that we give your name the praise. In the name of Jesus we ask, amen.